Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can speak up and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get in the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning to you out there in radio land. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day. Remember that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad about this day, because a lot of people didn't wake up today. A lot of people are not walking on the dirt, but the dirt is on them. And so be glad today that you are still got your health and your strength. Be glad today that you had some breakfast, you had you some Wheaties, or you had you some Fruit Loops, some grits, or some biscuits, whatever you had. You just be thankful for it. All right, this morning in the Situation Room, I have with me my lovely wife, Marion. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing fine as well.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. What we're going to talk about today in the Situation Room?
Today is marriage questions and answers.
All right. Today we're going to have marriage questions and answers. We got some good questions?
We have some good questions today.
All right. Before we start on that, let me give some contact information, Sister Weber, just in case somebody have a marriage question out there, or a Bible question, or a hot topic you want us to discuss here in the Situation Room. You can email those marriage questions, a hot topic, a Bible question, to BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call me and leave it on my voicemail at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, now we're ready for some marriage questions. All right, question number one, Sister Wilbur.
Question number one. My mother-in-law is very controlling of my husband. Whenever there is a problem, she always calls on him. When she needs the lawn cut, she calls him. When there is a plumbing problem, she calls him. Whenever she needs anything, she calls on him. How can I get her to stop calling on my husband so much?
Oh, That's $1 million question here. All right, so we got a question regarding the mom-in-law. We got an in-law problem, huh?
Right.
All right. Okay. Well, first of all, don't let this little problem become a major problem. Because what normally happens with in-laws, it can become such an adversary relationship that the in-laws become outlaws.
They do.
Yeah.
Become enemies.
Yeah, they become enemies. They become like an outlaw. And you're not happy to see one another. And we don't want that to happen. And so what you don't want to do is turn this thing into a cat fight. Where you got two women's fighting over one man. Because this thing can easily become a cat fight. You remember in the Bible, in Philippians 4, there was two ladies that was kind of fussing there in the church. And Paul told them to rejoice in the Lord always. Mm-hmm. Again, I say rejoice. And then he says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about nothing. But he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I would handle this situation with prayer. Whenever you're dealing with family issues, before you go and talk to that person, because it looked like she's getting ready to go talk to mom-in-law.
And it's not going
to
be nice.
Yeah. So before she start getting ready to talk to mom-in-law, she needs to talk to God.
True.
And that's just a general principle. You're not ready to talk to people one-on-one until you done talk to God one-on-one.
And that's a good principle for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
In every aspect.
Yeah, yeah. A wife is not ready to talk to her husband until she done talk to God. Parents, you're not ready to talk to your children until you done talk to God. You're not ready to talk to somebody in the church about a problem until you done talk to God. And you sure not ready to talk to your mom-in-law until you done talk to God first about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would do. And in that prayer, I wouldn't make this prayer just a one-sided prayer, just asking God to touch my mom-in-law heart. I would also be praying about my heart. I would ask God. You know, David prayed in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there are any wicked ways in me, and then lead me in the path of righteousness. So now that's the prayer that I would pray, because on things like this here, these sensitive issues, you could be getting out of the right spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Mom-in-law could have vexed your spirit so that you done started hating on mom-in-law.
True.
And so, you know, mom and them used to say two wrongs
don't make a right.
Don't make a right. And so that's what I would do. I would pray. I would pray about my mom-in-law and ask the Lord to deal with her heart where she can see that she needs to bag up. That her role is different now. Mama, you know, the scripture says, children, honor your parents. Now, you do that the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a time when a child don't necessarily have to obey their parents. Once you get grown and mama say, I want you to come over here right now. Well, you don't necessarily have to come over there right now. You got wife and family and children.
True.
Yeah. Now, but out of respect, you show some respect to you. You're always going to honor. You say, now, mama, you know, I can't come over there right now. I got this. You're going to have to call somebody else because I got this. So you show respect. You show respect, but not necessarily you have to obey.
Okay.
And so that's what I would do. And then another thing that I would do to just make sure that my heart is right too, if I was this lady, I would do some role reversal. She needs to put herself in her husband's place.
Okay.
That's what she needs to do. And then ask yourself, how would you respond if that was your mama calling on you? I mean, what would you do? See, a lot of times a wife may not necessarily want her husband to go and see about
his parents,
but when her mama calls,
she runs
over there. So do some role reversal and put yourself in your husband situation, because see, it could be that the mama is a widow, that the dad is gone, and that's why she's calling on the son to cut the yard and to do the plumbing, because she's a widow, and so she's looking to this son to more or less take the daddy's place.
And she may only have the one son.
Yeah, and she may just only have the one son. And that may be why, you know, he responds to her call like that. And if it's still bothering you, if what he's doing still bothering you after you done role reversal, then that's when I would go ahead and really call my husband in, and we'll have to talk about it. And see what we can do about mama-in-law.
Okay.
But that's just some stuff that I, off my head. For what you got, Sister Wilbert, what do you think about this situation?
Okay. Now, if they had other brothers and sisters, he could talk to them, and they could come up with a game plan. But we have to remember.
Now, that's a very good point. If they got other brothers and sisters, then they can kind of shelter some of that weight, kind of
rotate and doing certain things. But then you have to realize that the mother-in-law knows the children.
Yeah.
Because she gave birth to them, so she knows what son will come and cut the yard. She's going to know which one will do the plumbing if she had plumbing problems. She knows what child is going to wash the dishes or clean the house for when she calls. And so that may be the reason why she's calling on that this lady's husband, because he's the child that will come and help while the others won't.
That's a very good point, Sister Wilbert. That's a very good point. Your mama knows her children. So even if she got four or five children, not all four or five children feels the same way like this boy here. He may have been the responsible one, and the one that really can take care of home. Yeah.
Another interesting thing is we don't know if he's ever grown up and left home.
Yeah, that's a good point,
too. You know, never
too.
Left mama. Mama's always been there. So when the coin is flipped, he feels that he has to be there for mama.
Okay.
You know, that's one of the things.
So he, so in that case now, he hadn't... The apron need to be cut.
No. Yeah, as my dad said when we got married, that I cut your navel cord.
Okay.
So, you know.
So he now that, so he needs to realize what the scripture says over in Genesis, for this cause, a man shall leave his mother and his father, and cleave unto his wife, that the two can become one flesh. And so that's a very good point. This boy may have left home yet, and so if he hadn't really growed up to the point where he can leave mama, that is going to cause a major problem.
Yeah. And the next thing is I would ask God to give her a greater love for the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Because you can always overcome evil with good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's in anything.
Yeah. So rather than looking at it from the perspective of that's his mama.
Claim her as your mama.
Claim her as, yeah.
And go together. When she called, okay, well, let's be a team. We go and do this. And you pitch in and show her that you love her too. It's not just him that she can call on. She can call on you too because you're one.
That's very
good.
And
he loves his mom and you love her too.
Yeah. Yeah. So she needs to love what he loves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very good. And vice versa. You know, that reminds me of that story of Ruth mm-hmm. in the Bible. Sister Wilbur, get that. Ruth chapter 1.
Verse 16.
Yeah.
Says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou go, I will go, and whither thou lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God.
Okay, now what did Ruth say? Because the mama-in-law was saying, Ruth, you can go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to follow me. You don't have to go with me. Because Naomi mm-hmm. had lost her husband
and children
and her two sons. And so back in Bible day, it was the son's responsibility once daddy done died to take care of the mama.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Naomi, both of her sons done died. So Ruth is stepping in now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Naomi says, you don't have to take care of that responsibility. I'm going to go ahead and go back home. But Ruth told the mama-in-law that where you go,
she go.
I'm going to go. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. Your people going to be
her people,
my people, and your God going to be my God. Now, that is some love there.
Mm-hmm.
She's showing that we're going to be one. Mm-hmm. We're going to be one. And that's very good counsel, Sister Wilbert, that she needs to really ask God. She needs to really pray and ask God to deal with her heart where she can love her mama-in-law just like Ruth loved her mama-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Just like her son loves his mama, she has that same kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
She have that same kind of love. Yeah, and I think, too, that this lady, she needs this wife, she needs to realize, too. She needs to make sure that she maintain a merry heart.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to make sure she don't go around with a sour spirit, because that will ruin your marriage.
Yes,
and that'll make your husband have to choose and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he already done chose you.
Yes.
He already done chose you, so it's not who you gonna choose. He already done chose you as his wife.
Mm-hmm.
What she needs to realize, it ain't as bad as it could be.
It could be worse.
Yeah, it could be a whole lot worse. You know, over in Japan and in these third world countries, it's very common to have two and three generations of people living in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the grandmama, the mama, the son with his wife, all living in the same house, because it's about showing honor to your elders. So thank God that your husband is just visiting mama.
Mm-hmm.
That mama-in-law hadn't moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be a real problem.
I have a thought.
Okay.
When you mentioned earlier about where the mother-in-law could be a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And if this couple met after the dad had passed away, well,
mm-hmm.
the lady knew that he's going to have to help take care of mama, because she don't have that there.
Yeah.
And so while they're dating, I'm pretty sure she called on him.
Yeah.
To do different things. And so now you done got married. Now you see it as controlling.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to look at it. It was there before.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things about our culture, we are just too divided.
Mm-hmm.
But in marriage, I mean, in third world cultures and back in Bible days, they saw everything as a household.
Mm-hmm.
They
unity.
Saw everything in household, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all their children and their children.
And the servants.
Yeah, yeah. And but today, mm-hmm. we're just way too divided.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you know, we want to stick our people on the backside of the house or in nursing homes and things like that. But back in Bible day, it was the role of the sons and the role of the family member to take care of family members.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're going to pray about that situation.
Yeah.
Sister Wilburn.
Okay.
Because I think that that situation can be resolved with prayer and some understanding. And
it
that's what
be.
The scripture says, in all you're getting,
get
a good understanding.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the next question.
Question
Sister
number
Wilburn.
Two. We just got married. How important is it that we read the Bible together and pray together?
Oh, that's very important.
It is.
That's very important that you read out of the same book, that's which is the Bible. Now, you can imagine if one person is reading their Bible and another person is just reading a romantic novels,
mm-hmm.
then your thoughts are not going to be the same.
True.
So, in order to be on one accord, you need to be reading the same book,
mm-hmm.
and we're recommending the Bible. It's very important because one of the goals in marriage is to become one flesh, two becoming one, according to Matthew 19. And when you're reading the Bible together, you're putting the same thing on your mind. And you're putting the same kind of spirit. Because Jesus says, my word is spirit and they are life. And you are imparting life into your soul. And so you are thinking the same thing. When you start praying together, you start wanting and desiring the same things, which bring you closer together, you know. Old folks used to say, and this is very true, a family that prays together stays together.
Together.
Yeah, that brings about a unity.
Mm-hmm.
And then that scripture over in Matthew 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah.
You got it?
I got it.
Okay.
It says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, if it be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Yeah, yeah. And so not only do it bring you and your wife together, but it brings God in the midst.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. You want to bring God in the middle of your relationship. Because see, God is that glue that's going to keep y'all together. So if you want to have a marriage till death do you part, then read that Bible together, pray together, and watch and see, won't God strengthen your marriage and put y'all on one accord. You know, that was the thing about the early church. The early church, the Bible says, they was on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you read that statement, for the most part, the Holy Ghost would come on in there because they was on one accord. Now, when you're not on one accord, you can't expect God's power. But when you are on one accord, you can expect God's power.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have piano player at the church that used to talk about prayer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She used to say, what was that motto?
Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power.
No prayer.
No prayer, no power.
Amen. It was three things there. Little prayer.
Little power.
Little power. Much prayer. Much power. No prayer.
No power.
No power. And so it all depends on what you want. If you want a lot of power, if you want God's power, then read your Bible together and pray together. And watch and see, won't the Lord keep y'all together till death do you part. Mm-hmm. All right, Sister Wilbert. Well, look like the clock on the wall saying that's going to be all today, Sister Wilbert. Thank you for coming in. We got two good questions. We had another question, but we'll say that till next week.
All right.
Week. Thank you again for coming.
You're welcome.
And thank all of you out there in Radio Land for being a part of the Situation Room today. Let me encourage you to stay with us now the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book and let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you miss any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. In Your Corner will be rebroadcast at 12 and 6. Ghostbusters will be rebroadcast at 1 and 7. The Situation Room will be rebroadcast at 2 and 8. A Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 3 and 9. Unshackled will be rebroadcast at 4 and 10. A Deeper Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 5 and 11. And listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner, right here, in the Situation Room.